The one behind you and tell them
worry. Worry. Why worry? Amen. Why worry? Right? So I want to keep building on what we started, Matthew 6, verse 25. Someone can turn to that verse or that chapter. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 25 to 34. Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Matthew 6, 25 to 34. And I want to have a volunteer who will read for us. Someone will actually come to the front, all right? Stand with me and read. All right? Aya, Daniel, kuja. Matthew 6, 25 to 34.
Matthew 6, 25 to 34. I'm reading from the NIV version. So I tell you, don't worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food, drink, and clothes. Doesn't life consist of more than food and clothing? Look at the birds. They don't need to plant nor to harvest or put food in barns because your heavenly Father feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than they are. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Of course not. And why worry about your clothes? Look at the lilies, how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Verse 29, yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautiful as they are. Verse 30, and if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that they are today and gone tomorrow, won't he surely care for you? You have so little faith. Verse 31. So don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. Why be like pagans who are so deeply concerned about these things? Your heavenly Father already knows all your needs, and he will give you all you need from day to day. If you live for him and make the glory of God your primary concern. Verse 34. So don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will bring its own worry. Today's trouble is enough for today.
All right. Appreciate Bishop Daniel. Good to see you. All right. Now, this is one of the texts that really changed my life in the year 2008. It's when I first heard someone actually talk about this text and the pursuit of the kingdom. And today what I want to focus on is the problem of worry, okay? Look at your friend, tell them the problem of worry. Everyone on this universe is worried about something. Even all of us seated in this room, we are worried about something. We can put on our Sunday best, put on our suits, look nice, smile. But deep down in our hearts, there is something that is worrying us. Now, some people are worried that they are too tall, and others are worried that they are too short. Some are worried that they are too fat, and others are worried that they are too thin. And so they're trying to eat all the junk so that they can be fat. Where the fat are trying to work everything out to be thin. People are worried. Some are worried that they are too black. Like when I was a kid, I was a teenager, I was worried that I was too dark. I was dark and fat. So those are two worries combined. It is one thing to be dark in Africa. It is another to be fat and dark in Africa. And then there are those who are worried that they are too light because they can't go to the beach. So, you know, Atachomeka, and I see the ladies put on all this sunscreen when they're in the beach. People have stuff that they are worried about. Some are worried by bigger things, bigger issues. Some are worried because they don't have rent. And so they are trusting God for rent. Others are worried that they have projects that they have not completed and the deadline is coming. Others are worried because of their work environment, because they do not know. Tomorrow is Monday, and maybe some people came to church so that they can pray for their Monday, because their Monday is like hell. Whenever they report to the office, there's always this friction and confrontation with supervisors and bosses and managers. So they are worried about how tomorrow will be like. There are others who are worried because they don't have food to eat. They don't know what they will eat tonight. There are others who are worried because they have no bed to sleep in. And some of them don't even have a mattress, so they sleep outside. And there are others who are worried because they have no shoes. Worry. The problem of worry is in almost every human being. And we do make things and make decisions sometimes out of worry, and we find ourselves making the wrong decisions. For example, when young ladies in church are pressured to get married, they are worried that they are getting old and they are getting out of market. And so they start fasting and praying out of worry that they may not have men to marry them. So they are crying to God every day. And let me tell you, let me encourage those of you who feel like that, especially the young ladies, you are not alone. It's not just in church that we have a crisis of women not getting married, even in the world, okay? So be encouraged. Jesus is your husband, amen? Do not make decisions for, you know, especially when it comes to marriage, do not make decisions because you are under pressure or because you are afraid or because you are worried of how your tomorrow will be like. God sees us through under all circumstances. I want to say to you that the mountains you are facing are all mountable. You can climb them if only you believe. And I want to say to you that every river and every ocean is crossable. Whatever it is that you're going through, you are not the first one to go through it, and you can come through it, and you can overcome it if only you believe that you can. All right? And so let me encourage you, because there are so many people who are worried about stuff. They are worried that they don't have kids. Others are worried that they're having too many kids. Others are worried because of they don't have a good school or they don't have school fees. And so they're here praying and trusting God to give them school fees. And they are worried about the next term or the next semester. They don't have anything. They don't have money to pay for the school fees. Others are worried of where they'll get 20 million shillings from. So our problems and our worries are very, very different and very, very diverse. But all of them are important to God. But let me tell you some of the things that, you know, there's this lady in this prayer meeting. And so they were there and they were praying, and so they formed a circle to pray. And so each person in this prayer meeting was supposed to say their need. You know how we Christians meet and then tunasema, if you have a personal, you know, prayer, if you have a prayer request, just say it. And you know, church people will say, okay, I need to pray for my brother, you know, pray for my sister, or pray for me, I need a job, blah, 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 blah. And so when it came to this lady, she said, personal. It is a personal prayer, okay? And so being good Christians, the leaders of the meeting decided to also pray for the personal prayer. But then after that, they went to this girl and they asked her. So one of the leaders went and asked, so what is this personal prayer? And she said, I have a boyfriend, but he's too short. I am believing God that he will be tall. Some of these things, they just, you know, is, and you know, sometimes I look at them and I'm like, really? But you know, as a pastor, you don't discourage them. You say, okay, the Lord can make anyone tall. You know, just encourage them. So that they believe. But then there are these fierce pastors who will be like, young woman, why did you fall in love with a short man? You know, the problem of worry is a very critical issue. Now, what is worry? Worry is fear that something will not work as it is supposed to be. We all have hope. We all have encouragement. We all have belief. But we are afraid that something will not work out as it is supposed to be. Worry is a fear of the unknown. Worry is to be troubled about actual problems. So in other words, worry has a cause, or worrying has a reason. We all have our reasons of getting worried. And those reasons are justified, all right? Because you're afraid of actual problems. Some people are worried that they're about to be auctioned. Others are worried that they can't pay the mortgage on time. And so they're afraid that their houses or their cars will be taken away. These are actual problems. These are real issues that are facing people. And then Jesus, in the book of the text that we just read, is right there saying, why worry about what you will eat, what you will drink, or the clothes you will wear? In other words, why are you so worried about, nikama alikuwa anasema, why are you so worried about your living? Okay? Let me tell you, recently this week I met a man, you know, an older man, and we were talking, and he's facing these challenges in his work, in his business. And so I was trying to explain to him this text and what it means. And let me tell you, this is a difficult, difficult gospel to preach to someone who is in an actual problem. Someone who hasn't paid his office rent. Someone who has workers working for him and he hasn't paid their salary because his LPOs, his payments are held by other organizations. Someone who has five multiple streams of income, but none of those five multiple streams of income is bringing any income. And then you're there telling them, why worry? You know, this guy is behind in rent and in arrears for the last 3 months. And you're telling them, Jesus said, why worry? It is a difficult, difficult gospel to preach. It is an easier gospel to preach to someone who has no worries. Or like that young lady who's worried, her only worry is for the boyfriend to be taller. That's not a huge worry, okay? Because she can change boyfriends. Tuko pamoja. She can go get someone who is taller and move on. But then these people who are faced with real situations, someone who hasn't paid rent for 5 months, it's very difficult to tell them, why are you worried about shelter? Why are you worried about where you will stay? Someone who has no food for 3 nights, it's very difficult, and they, you know, they have kids looking up to them, but they can't afford to feed these kids. It's difficult, hard to tell them, do not worry, to read this Bible for them, to read Matthew chapter 6 for them. How can you pursue the kingdom of God when you are hungry? How can you pursue the kingdom of God when you are in debt? How can you pursue the kingdom of God when you are facing jail? How can you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness while your greatest worry is your clothes? And Jesus is confronting these people, he's confronting this situation, and he's telling them, why are you worried? In other words, what Jesus was saying was that, why are you worried about the things of this world? Including food, including rent, including everything that we get worried about, including boyfriends, and including girlfriends, and including church, and including friends, and including families. Why are we worried about all these things? And that's what Jesus was saying. But he had to break it down to the common things that applied to every one of us. Food, shelter, clothes, water to drink. So the problem of worry is about to be afraid of potential problems. There are problems. To be worried is to be concerned. To be worried is to agonize. Agonize. I'm just giving you some synonyms of the word worry. To be worried is to panic because of something. Something has come and you've panicked. To be worried is to brood over something negative. You're always there. Every morning, you're waking up and you're thinking, you're brooding over this negative thing. And let me tell you, 90% of the times we spend with ourselves, we spend thinking about the past. And not in the good past, but the bad past. 90%, and that is scientific. 90% of the time that you spend alone, you spend thinking about the past. Thinking about the things that happened. And getting worried about those things. But I want to say to you, the past is gone. The past is past. Leave it in the past. There is nothing you can do to change your past. If your father, you disagreed with your father and he kicked you out of the home, there is nothing you can do to undo the fact that he kicked you out of his home. If you disagreed with your boyfriend or with your husband or with your wife or whoever, there is nothing you can do to undo the past. The more you dwell on the past, the more you brood over on the past, the more the worries come upon you in this life. To be worried is to be bothered. It is to be distressed. It is to be restless, nervous, tense. You're tensed at all times. You're nervous about something. You're restless. It is to fear, to walk in fear. For example, if in high school, and I know there are some guys who are in high school, you're afraid of the examinations. You're afraid of some teachers. And so now that you're doing your KCSE almost, you're afraid, you have fear of the examination. And because of your fear, that moment when you get to that room, you fail. You perform very well the other years. But on that moment when you're doing your final exams, everything falls apart because of fear, because you are worried. You're worried about your grades. You're worried about your future. You are 17, 16, and you want to know your future, and you want to know what to do with your life. And sometimes I ask them, do you think we also knew what you wanted to be when you were 16? My friend, you were so lost. People like me were lucky. We were still preaching, all right? And we knew that at some point in our lives, we may end up in preaching. You're 16, 17. Don't get worried about stuff that you don't have control over. You're 17. You are worried about the man you'll marry. My friend. Do you know where that guy is? You don't know. Is it time to think about who you get married to? You're worried about things. And this is what I've noticed. We are worried about things that we cannot control. Otherwise, if we can control it, then we don't have to worry about it. But if we can't control it, those are the things that we worry about. And this is a problem. If you get too worked up on something that you can't control, that thing will crush you because you can't control it. Why spend so much energy on something that you can't control? To worry. To worry is to dwell on the negative. To worry is to be in a state of anxiety. A state of anxiety. And that's what Jesus asked. Why are you anxious about things? And I want to say, anxiety leads to depression. Anxiety leads to depression. The more anxious you are, the more depressed you become. Did you know that Kenya is the sixth most depressed nation in Africa? Kenya. Yani sisi tumekaa hapa, bwana sifiwe. You and I who are seated here, right, are the sixth most depressed people in Africa. So I went looking and I was asking myself, so what are these things that really depress Kenyans, right? Because I don't care about America. They can be depressed because of Donald Trump. I mean, it's their problem. They voted for him, so wajipange nayo. I don't care about China. I don't care about Japan, all right? I pray for them. But I'm in Kenya today, okay? So I went looking. And one of the things I realized, there are several lists. And the number one thing that really is depressing Kenyans is unemployment. Unemployment. Lack of jobs. Lack of jobs. If you go to any church and you ask for prayer requests, 40% or 50% of those prayer requests will have something to do with jobs. Unemployment. People wanting jobs. And so they're worried. Statistics say that 40% of employable Kenyans are unemployed. 40% of employable Kenyans are unemployed. And therefore, there is a rise of worry, a rise of depression. Okay? So you find today, there are so many people now starting churches as a form of business. So they come to the church, they ask you to bring your certificates, they lay hands on your certificates, and they tell you, get a job, receive a job. And you're there saying, I receive, you know? And you receive for 7 years, and no job comes. Then you move to another church, you continue receiving, nothing, 10 years. Let me say this, one of the greatest challenges we have in this nation is the church. I'm a pastor, right? And I love the church and I stand with the church. But one of our greatest problems in this country, and one of the problems that is leading to depression, is the church. Because the church is not teaching what we call applied Christianity. Apart from praying for me, and apart from praying, you know, putting hands or laying hands on my certificate, what else is the church teaching me? Is it equipping me in terms of skills? Is it equipping me in terms of talent? Is it equipping me in terms of giftings? Is it equipping me in terms of business? Are we together? And so we have all these churches in Kenya, and I think across Africa, not just in Kenya, but all over Africa, that have, you know, hundreds of thousands of members who are struggling and crying and praying every day, but nothing is working for them. We have members, you know, churches that have bishops who have five jets, but the members who come to the church are not skilled to get a job, an employment. Therefore, crime is rising in Kenya because of unemployment. Number two, corruption is rising because of unemployment. And let me say this, we can pray about corruption and it is okay to pray. And as I said last week, we have to, knowledge is more powerful than praying. If you pray in knowledge, then you have an atomic bomb of prayer. But we pray for corruption. We pray against corruption. We pray against the spirit of corruption. But then the question is, what is this thing contributing to corruption? Because if we can solve that thing that is contributing to corruption, then we will no longer have to pray against corruption. If everyone in Kenya got a job, for example, we will reduce corruption. I'm not saying that we will finish it completely, because it is a human nature. Even in those developed world, they are corrupt. Even those white people, they are corrupt. Okay? Only that they are corrupt on a lower level than Kenyans. Kenyans, we are known. Wherever you go. Because of lack of unemployment, now we have fake goods importation. We are importing poison because people are greedy and they want to make more money. Why? Worry. Worry. Worry about tomorrow. They are eating all this money, getting all this cash, conning all these people because they are afraid of being poor. Number two problem in Kenya is gambling that is leading to depression. These are statistics. This is not my thinking. Statistics. And these statistics say 76% of Kenyans are gamblers. Whew. Do you know how that number looks like? If we take everyone in this room, okay, and then we divide it into 76%, it means that 76% of everyone in this room is a gambler. That is now the reality. 76% of Kenyans are gamblers. They gamble through SportPesa, because I know now when I mention gambling, the first thing that comes to mind is what? SportPesa, betting, all right? But you know, gambling is in many ways. You gamble with your money. When you go to church, churches now have become casinos. Can I say these things? Okay? Churches have become casinos. They have become gambling dens. Where you come and they say, if you give 2,000 shillings, you will receive this much. Some years back, you know, some years back, not even years, even now, there's this bishop, pastor, I think he was a pastor, reverend, bishop, whatever they call themselves. And he told the people to go and bring the soil of the place they want to live in, the place they want to possess. So all the women went to Runda. Okay, and they chopped out the soil of Runda. And everyone was told to bring 1 kg of soil. This is in Kenya, my friends, not Nigeria. If it's Nigeria, it's believable, you know? Like Nigerians can do anything. But this is Kenya. So the women went, all the people went to Runda. They, you know, took the soil, 1 kg. They brought it to church. But every person was supposed to bring that soil attached with 10,000 Kenya shillings. And so they got the 10,000 shillings, you know, Kenya shillings, and they attached it to the soil, and then they brought it to the altar. And they were prayed over. And they were anointed. And they believed. And they were told, claim Runda, claim Runda. What they didn't understand is that Runda is full, okay? Right now, it is full. Like, there is no more expansion. Every land is owned by someone, okay? But they didn't know that. And they didn't care. So in my thinking, I'm like, do you think the people in Runda are not God's people? That you want to possess them away? But the guys came and they possessed and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. Several years later, a lot of these guys had left the church. But this is a danger. You leave such a church and you join a worse church. One of the women, I think two of them or three of them, who left that church of the soil, they joined another church. I won't mention names because, again, it's good to respect the gracings of different people. Okay? Because people are, they have their own weaknesses, but they are graced in another area. So they joined this church. And one time, this bishop invites a preacher from Ghana, I think. So the bishop comes and teaches, and you know, from that verse where this guy, Jacob, was running away from his brother. And that point where he went and slept on that stone, and then he began to see angels descending and ascending, and he had this beautiful vision. And so this bishop preaches powerfully. And let me tell you, it's so easy to manipulate. And so he preaches powerfully. And then he says, today there will be a stone for you. And everyone is like, yeah, we want the stones, we want the stones, you know. And so they were all told to go out of the church and collect stones. And they ran, my friend, they ran. Men with suits and, you know, looking good and, you know, have packed big cars. Wanakimbia kuokota mawe. Seriously. You know. Women who own properties and you know, properties everywhere, they are running to collect stones for more wealth. You know, this is a crazy thing. So they went and collected stones, and then they were told, now that you've collected every stone, so kila msa kwa kanisa kwa na mawe yake meshika, then they were told these stones will be anointed. This is Nairobi, Kenya. So they came to with the stones, but the anointing would cost 15,000 each person. So while they had 100,000, there was a, you know, they planned this oil in different cases. They said there is oil from Jerusalem, there is oil from where, and the oil ilikuwa level, so kuna chupa kubwa hivyo. So kitaka chupa kubwa, you give 100K, your stone is anointed, you're also anointed, okay? And then they were told when they go home, where they sleep, they put the stone under the pillow. And they will start receiving visions, you know, from heaven. Angels ascending and descending. The problem of worry. You put fear in people and they will give you what you want. The Bible has been used to stir the fear, to stir that aspect of worry in people. Being told, oh, you will lose your marriage, you lose this. And so they come and they give sacrifices for their marriage. Sacrifices for their, you know, it is okay to give, okay? Please understand that, all right? It is okay to give, it is godly to give, it is biblical to give, it is okay to want to be wealthy, it is okay to pray for wealth. But it is not okay when someone tells you that for you to be wealthy, you have to bring your court. Or you have to bring, it is, in other words, it is witchcraft in church. Because when you go to a witch doctor, I've never been to a witch doctor, but I've had people who went to witch doctors, okay? What would I be going to do, like, in a witch doctor's home? But I've had people who went to witch doctors, and they say that when you go to a witch doctor's house, he asks you for something, and he tells you, bring a white chicken, I don't know if it's true, or a black chicken, or a white goat, or whatever. And people go to miles to get these things. So if you come to church and I'm telling you, oh, bring 20,000 so that you can receive your healing. How am I different with that witch doctor? Some church downtown in Nairobi, they had placed a huge card, a huge announcement on church of all the diseases. HIV and AIDS, 20,000 shillings. Depression, 15,000 shillings. In a church. So you walk into church and that's the first thing you see placed somewhere that everyone can see. They charge to pray for your sickness. One time I was in this convention and then this pastor stands and says, the Spirit of the Lord has spoken to me that there is a woman here who is sick and God is saying that you bring 500,000 Kenya shillings to the feet of the now apostles, the apostle Hini, to the feet of the apostle, and you'll be healed. And then I was there and I was like, what? What? You can't do, you know, you. And so then I was very angry, and you know, I confronted him after. And then there's this, you know, so he defended himself, blah, blah, blah. God said, and I was like, why didn't God tell you to give the 500,000 on behalf of that woman? You know? They come and they say, oh, bring money, bring, the Spirit of the Lord is showing me 100,000 shillings, 200,000, 500. And then the guys who give more money, they ask 500,000. If you bring 500,000, and you know, there's a special prayer for you. You actually come on stage, we pray for you, we put your feet on oil. Oil. I don't know how you guys have been on these situations, but I've been there. Maybe now on the other two, Munashindo, Allah, is it true? Yes, it is true. It's happening. So they pry on your worries. And they say, oh, there's a woman here who needs to give 250,000 shillings for the redemption of your son. A desperate man, a desperate woman will give that money. Tuko pamoja. If she has the ability, they will give to save their son. And these con men know it. And so they pry on our worries, and they bring, and they come. And so you'll be called. If you give much money to 500,000, you'll be called to the front. Dip your feet on oil, because there's this karai, they have filled it with oil from Jerusalem, I think River Jordan or something. And then, uingizo miguu hapo uombewe. Then 100,000, nye mpandi kwa stage. Mnapanga line hapa mbele, okay? Mnamwagiliwa mafuta, 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 mafuta. And then the rest, like, wale sambo zi afford 100, mko 10,000, 1,000, mnasimama mahali mko. So don't come, you stand where you are, prayers are sent to you. That's why I receive my faith. Worry, the problems of worry. So the church has contributed so much to depression. I have known marriages that are broken because of church. One of the marriage that I know is that this, you know, this woman goes to this convention, and then it's a prophetic thing, and so the prophet is saying, blah, 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 bring your stuff, we want to do 1, 2, 3. And so the woman goes home, takes her TV, takes her furniture, zote, akapeleka kanisa, went to the bank, took out some money they had borrowed, I think 300,000 shillings, took to church. Now remember, these things she has not consulted with her husband. Her husband is not even a believer. So he doesn't know how this thing works. And so after a few months, the husband notices hakuna TV. Of course, ali notice kidambo. But so you know, marriages, kuna vile, unaachaga nyumba siya. As a man, nyumba ina mwenyewe. Tuko pamoja. And so only the married people will understand. But, you know, so the guy comes and finds there's no TV, there's no furniture, and he thinks maybe the woman has a plan to surprise, you know, like maybe I'll let a new furniture. 6 months later, the guy is like, where is that TV? Nene kiti mimi. So then they decide to go, you know, he decides to go check the bank and finds the 300K they had borrowed to start a business, zero. And so he begins to bring issues, like, where is the money? Rightly so. And so after pressing and pressing and pressing, the woman says, oh, I gave it to God. Which God? So the guy asked. So he stole the church, and then he comes to that church, he goes to that church and causes drama, and rightly so. Okay? So the marriage is broken. Evil too. Depression. So the woman is depressed because now she wants the church to give her back the stuff that she brought so that she can save her marriage. But the church is like, it was between you and God. So you go talk to? Worry. The number three issues in Kenya are family issues, according to what the statistics say. Disagreements between married couples, broken homes, broken parents, broken children. And so when I go to high schools, which I do a lot, I meet all these kids and all these people. And all these kids, one of the major, I think 80% of all the problems we face have to do with homes, have to do with parents, mothers, fathers, my dad this, my mom this, my mom that. 80% of the problems have their root cause on homes. Hundreds of kids who are going through, you know, problems of pornography, masturbation, lesbianism, gayism, all these issues, you dig deeper and dig deeper, you find home problems. Okay? And then toxic relationships. Number four, young people in toxic relationships. That is why we have an increase of suicide. People killing each other. People killing themselves. Murder. And recently, you know that case in Eldoret, where this young man drove all the way from Thika, went all the way to Eldoret to kill her, to his girlfriend. That, well, according to the lawyers, kuna venye wana argue, but it happened. There was a murder somewhere. Okay? And then internet was number five, according to this research, internet. And they said social media is one of the leading agent of worry and depression in Kenya, because social media is inciting people and is creating a spirit of competition among people. And this is the thing, if you are on Instagram and you go to on Instagram and you've befriended your friends while you go to high school, ama your workmates, and then you realize that these guys keep going for, you know, they're always taking photos when they're in Dubai, in Malaysia, in where you have never been anywhere. The only place men are in Kitengela is Nairobi. Nairobi, Kitengela, Nairobi, Kitengela. You get depressed. And you start asking yourself, why is it that I have not, you know, what is wrong with my life? And social media is really involved in that. In politics, social media is one of the fires that is really one of the fuel that is firing us. Television, celebrity life, wanting to live like celebrities, wanting this, you know, all this life. And then number six was health. Health, the problem of health. Most people are getting sick every day in Kenya, but they have no option. Okay? They can't afford the medical bills. Right now, cancer is on the rise in Kenya. And we are being told that cancer is everywhere. We are being told cancer is in the sugar, sukari yetu iko na mercury. Okay? So the more you take sugar, the more you are taking mercury. And the more mercury itaanza ku affect. Okay? Recently, kulikuwa na red alert, red meat, you know, meat. You are taking meat, and bio, you know, it's being made with some substances that could cause cancer. Now, I stopped eating meat for a while, one as fewer, and then you know what I said? I said, it is the Lord who gives life. So I went back to the butcher in Kanunua Nyamba. Unayekele mikono, receive healing. But the truth is, we are worried. Even when you're taking that meat, even if you're prayed, you're worried that whatever it is that you're eating could harm your health. And so, in Kenya, especially when it comes to depression, mental health, mental problem, because it's every disease, scientists say, every disease begins in the mind. Every sickness starts in the mind. Okay? Almost every disease starts in the mind. Now the problem is, Kenya has only 62 psychiatrists. I did not say 62,000. I did not say 62 million. I said 62. Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 62. Psychiatrists. Serving 47 million people. Psychiatrists. 62. Those are the ones who are known. Now we haven't counted the quacks and the fakes. Because they always exist. This is Kenya, my friend. Like, there's always, even lawyers, you didn't see the case of lawyers, who are quacks, you know, quack lawyers and fake lawyers who have, Kenya is very funny. So you find a lawyer, you know, everything is genuine, but then the registry, I think the certificate number, the number that they're supposed to operate under, belongs to someone else who died in 1992. So I'm like, what? 1992? Now, in Kenya, only 14 counties out of 47 have at least one hospital offering mental health care. Only 14 counties have only one, like at least one hospital, not a mental hospital, no, one hospital that is offering mental health care. We have many things to worry about. The moment you wake up in the morning, you think of our government, you get worried. True? You think about 2022 election, you get worried. Sini ukweli? You wake up in the morning and you think Raila and Uhuru and Ruto are not in agreement, you get worried. Because you don't know what will happen next. We are living in a state of fear, in a state of worry. So we are praying every day because we do not have solutions to these problems. So we wake up, and every time, and let me tell you the truth, every time Kenya comes close to election, everyone gets into a tense mode. That is when we begin to realize, oh, so-and-so is a Kikuyu. Ah, so-and-so is a Luo. Ah, so-and-so is this. Okay? But now we are okay. Now we can trade, you know, we are waiting for 2022, then we start fighting. The dynasties and the hustlers. And you wake up in the morning and you think to yourself, so where do I belong? Which side of life do I belong? The dynasty or the hustler? And it's a worry thing that has begun, and it is a tool to divide Kenyans. Because now we may no longer be susceptible to being divided by tribes. So now what do we divide ourselves? We divide ourselves between the poor and the rich. And then we label them as hustlers and dynasties. It was very funny when I saw Christians defending alcoholic companies. Christians saying, no, Keroche must stand. We are being targeted. And I'm like, you are being targeted as who? Are you a consumer? You know, are you a customer? What like, like who? As who? Okay? Spirits of wine, wines of, I think, spirits and wines of Africa, you know? We are there defending. No, these are hustlers who have come from the ground all the way up. So I'm like, so? How have they contributed to my life? What do I have to do defending alcohol companies? Because none of them is innocent. It could be the government is not innocent. It could be that these guys are not innocent. I have nothing to do with it. I will defend the church because I'm a member of the church when it comes to that point. But the problem of worry, my friend, when you get worried, today you're in this room and you're thinking to yourself, oh, you have no idea, Pastor. Oh, the problems I've been through. Oh, my goodness. It is true. I have no idea. Just as you have no idea, the problems I've been through. Okay? And that is okay not to have an idea. But one thing that binds us, that brings us to commonality, is that we have a God who knows all our problems. And sometimes he sets us up with those problems. He actually throws them at us. This is the thing. If you believe that God has a great plan for you in your life, then you must also believe that you will face challenges equivalent to the greatness that God has in you. Let me repeat that. Because we preach about this stuff and we psych you up and, you know, we motivate you and we tell you, you're great, you're going to be great. And it's true. But then we forget to tell people, the size of your greatness will determine the size of your problems. The fire you go through will prepare you for the elements that you'll be exposed to when you become great. Such that when you become great, you will remember it is not by your strength. It is by God's strength. Okay? I know there's no amens. Miss Hour. These are the kind of sermon everyone is like, yeah. You know? But it is okay. Because Jesus is challenging his disciples and his followers, telling them, do not be like the Gentiles who pursue these things, who are worried about what they will eat and drink and clothe. Jesus challenges those who follow him. And in other words, he's challenging us in this church who follow him, saying, do not be like the Gentiles. Like every time you face a challenge, you want to find a way out. And corruption, let me tell you one of the things that corruption does. Corruption gives people a way out. Period. Nothing else. That is the only need that corruption meets. It gives you a way out, but it gives you an ungodly way out, such that you will escape. Okay? You may escape from judgment or from wherever, or from whatever it is you're bribing. But the moment you escape from that, you find yourself that you've locked yourself in a prison for the rest of your life. Because once you engage in corruption, one time, you will engage it a second time, and a third time, and a fourth time. Because sin is sweet. Water drunk in secret is delicious. The Bible says so. What was in was screaming in smart son? It's the Bible. The Bible. Things done in hiding are nice, they're enjoyable. But then there's a prison that they get you to, especially the problem of corruption. So how do we overcome our worries, our fears, our agonizings? Because we have them, and they're there. And some of our worries are genuine, they are true. They are, you know, they are facing us. We can't escape from them. And some of the problems can't be solved by corruption. You can't pay yourself out of it. Okay? So I'm going to give you two things. One is spiritual. The other one is financial. Okay? And the third is mental. Three solutions. Come on, Moja. Spiritual one. Because you are a spiritual people, and this is a church. Amen? Something I call prayer meditation. Prayer meditation. And I'll show you how it works. In the same Matthew 6, Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. They come to him and says, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, all right, as it is in heaven. Tuko pamoja. Now, the thing is this. Many of us pray. And we pray the Shabarabaraba prayer, which is okay. I prayed that in my life all along. And I said, I think a few weeks ago, I shared of how we used to pray, my friend, a whole night, Friday night, every Friday, for years. You meet this guy, Menda Kesha, hakuna entertainment, hakuna DJs, hakuna musicians, hakuna mapambo. No, just excuse me, tuna pamba Kesha, so that was ilale. You know, we keep people engaged the whole night. So this guy stands at the front of you and says, hi, everyone, at 9 in the evening. Hi, everyone. Thank you for coming. It's time to pray. Let's meet at 4 a.m. Done. No praise and worship, nothing. You know, there is no preparing the atmosphere. You prepare your own atmosphere. Like, where enda, kona yako, you prepare. And so you pray and pray and pray and speak in tongues and pray and pray. And then, umeombea kila kitu, umeombea the nation, umeombea the chief justice, ama whoever, umeombea every governing authorities, principalities and powers, umedileta chini, you prayed for your family, your parents, everyone, you prayed even for your marriage partner, wherever they are, you have called them forth. You know, it's all disorder. And then angalia saa, umeanza 9, ukiangalia unaona ni 9:45. You're like, what? 9:45? You still have till 4 a.m. to pray. So you repeat those prayers, you repeat those prayers, and you repeat those prayers. Unachoka, unafika mahali, unalala. Then the problem of lack of sleep is this. If you strain your mind too much, without sleep, you begin having almost like hallucinations. Okay? You start saying things that are not okay. Like you, it's like your tongue or your mind is confused. So there are things in the same. So this time we were praying, and this guy, amelala pale kwa pulpit. So anaomba, amelala. Then akaamka, akaanza kuomba, akaomba in tongues. And then akasema, sufuria, sufuria, sufuria. Thank you God for the rice. Thank you God for the rice. Loudly. This is a true story. And all of us were like, hey, so, you know, so we laughed. And the guy was like, nikama alikuwa zombie, sufuria, sufuria. Kimchele. So he was praying in Swahili. Asante mwada kwa mchele, kwa mchele. Asante kwa mchele. So because he has what? One of the night, like you're praying and everyone is having all this. And then there is this one mwenye alianguka kwa mtaro. I think I shared that. And he fell on the mtaro and this ditch. And so he made a cry. You know, there are those cries of prayer that you can know these are cry of prayer. And then there's cry of pain. So the guy made a cry and all of us rushed because he looked quite injured. And so he was on the ditch. So we were trying to pull him. Oh, no, what's mimi? So he pulled him. Hey, what's up? What happened? Hey, malaika. So you're like, what do you mean, malaika? Oh, no, nimeona malaika amekuja. So now we get curious. Because the truth is, angels exist, right? And so you're like, hey, so this angel, so what was he wearing? And he says, oh, alikuwa amevaa kabuti ya gray. Alikuwa amevaa kabuti ya gray na gumboots. You know, so like, so then how did you fall in the ditch? Alinipiga sweep. Nikaanguka like. You know, it was so interesting. But you used to pray, my friend. You pray and sweat and your tongue is, you know, your tongue in a kwama. You take water, you pray. Every Friday, every week for years. So I've been there. Pray. Problem is, nothing used to work. My friend, we would fast, we would pray. Sometimes my chapa fasting here 40 days. 40 days. Munaitana tu munaitana. Nothing is working. You get to a point and you are like, does God really exist? Among us, there are men and women who are looking for jobs, but they can't get jobs. They come this Friday, they tell us, because 4 a.m., you have some testimony, mukikunywa drinking chocolate, okay? Kuna mikate, kuna drinking chocolate. Peke yake, go home. So we in the morning, you're talking to brothers. Says, oh, brothers, wanaongeana whispers because of the power. You know, there is power in prayer, but then there is the feeling of power in prayer. Those are two different things. A lot of people have the feeling of prayer, okay? The feeling of power in prayer. But they don't actually walk in the power of prayer. Okay? So after fasting, kuna ile feeling ya fasting. Like, mtu anafeeliki vizuri, unafeeling kama every demon will move when they see you. You know? There's that feeling. But then there's a real thing. There's now the thing where you show up and all demons leave. Those are two different things. Okay? And so, brothers are saying, oh, I have a testimony. Nimeitiwa kazi Monday, Jumatatu. Oh, so if they give a testimony, blah, blah, blah. Monday comes, Tuesday, Friday, we meet next week. Oh, we didn't get the job. They didn't get the job. After praying, after doing all that. Have you ever prayed so much and nothing seems to happen? Now, there are those situations where God, you know, teaches you something. But then there are other situations where you pray and every prayer you make is answered. It will take time, it may take a month or two, but God answers it. Okay? And one of the things is this. Prayer and meditation. The Bible says, David said, I will meditate upon your word. Okay? Morning and evening. Every day. According to the Jewish traditions, the Bible, God had commanded the Jews to always make an evening sacrifice. Okay? There was a morning sacrifice and an evening sacrifice. Every day of their lives. Okay? And this sacrifice was to be made in a meditation, almost like a meditation. So when you bring your sacrifice, you bring it and you meditate upon the goodness of the Lord. Okay? So what is meditation? Meditation is where you sit or stand or wherever and you begin to dwell your mind or to put your mind on the things that are important to you. The things of God. Okay? So when I say prayer meditation, this is what I mean. Let's take, for example, one of my favorite verses, Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Sometimes when I go to pray and I'm praying for this meditation and I'm praying for provision, okay? Because I also pray for provision. I go to God and I pick that verse and I sit and I begin to meditate upon that verse. And I say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. The Lord is, and I tell you, I repeat it and I repeat it and I don't count how many times I repeat it. But as I repeat it, my body relaxes, I begin to relax in my mind, and then the more I repeat it, the more I begin to believe it. The more I begin to believe it, the more I begin to trust that the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not be in any want. And so I started, you know, the more I meditate, the more I believe, I do it, and I do it over and over for like an hour, and I repeat it. And then I say, Lord, you are my shepherd, and I shall not be in want. You are my provider, and I shall not be in want. You are the one who gives me things, and I shall not be in want. And you do that on that one verse. I'm just giving you a very, you know, clear example. You can go home, try it. And I do that for an hour, and by the time I'm done, I am so confident that the Lord is my provider. I am so confident such that I am not worried about my lack of stuff. Such that this is the thing. It doesn't take away the problem. Please understand that. Okay? It doesn't take away the problem, but it gives you confidence to face that problem. You take, for example, another scripture, maybe your John 3:16, and you start praying over it with in view of your sin, saying, Lord, I am a sinner, but because you gave for me, I am saved. And you keep meditating on that. And you keep meditating on that. Now, good thing is this. Every scripture you take will begin to come to life in your life. Any scripture. Any scripture you use in prayer meditation will begin to come to life in your own life. It will begin to be alive. Things will start happening. Okay? You start seeing God opening doors and things will start happening. And the problem of worry, as Jesus was saying, seek first the kingdom. The problem of worry will be kicked out. That is one. Two, stewardship. Okay? So again, a spiritual solution, right? Two is now finances or money or the things we have. Stewardship. Right? So several years ago, I met a missionary. This guy, you know, he was a mzungu. I don't know why every time to mention missionary, nakwatumi mzungu, okay? But then this missionary comes and we meet. And this missionary had come to Kenya with a purpose and a goal that he wanted to do something. And he was very passionate about God, very passionate about prayer, and very passionate about things that he wanted to do and the kingdom of God. And so I met him and I was introduced to him by a friend of mine. And we sat and started talking. Have you ever talked to someone and instantly you feel that your spirit is connecting? There's a flow. You're talking scriptures, talking the wonders of God and the mighty power of the Almighty. And as you talk, you begin to feel as if this is your long-lost brother who happened to be born in Europe, atakuwa white, but he was supposed to be in Africa. You know, those kind of stuff. And so we had a long chat, and he was organizing this thing. And so he wanted my help or my assistance, and I joined him in this bandwagon of this wonderful thing that he was organizing. So in the process of me knowing this missionary, I realized that he was driving a very, very nice car. Very nice car. I don't know, come here on a very nice car. You know, when I say very nice car, mnasikia kuna wengi, ndio? Very nice car. See, a very nice car. No, very nice car. That's, you know, very nice car. Very brilliant car. A car that would go anywhere. And that was a long time. Like, it's a long time. So that for you to have that car that time, you have to have money. Like, good money. And so one time to Meenda, so you are going around the churches, meeting bishops, meeting pastors in Nairobi, and telling them about this project that we had. And so everywhere we went with this car, doors were open. Bishops even came out of their offices to invite us in. When we went back, me and my friend, black friend, Kenyan friend, by matatu, no one, even the secretary, would not give us audience. Okay, but that's another whole story. And so I asked him, how did you get this car? He told me, George, I prayed for this car. So I wanted to know more. Okay, yeah, there is the issue of prayers. So you keep praying. But then he told me, one time, he was based in Western Kenya, and he wanted to do missions across Western Kenya, and also Pokot, and Lodwar, and Turkana, and, you know, those interior places where the children want to go, the unreached, those places. And so he told me, he prayed and told God, I want you, God, to give me a vehicle that I can go with to these places. And then he went to the shops and checked how much the car was costing. At that time, the car was costing 4 million Kenya shillings. And so he told God and brought the report and said, okay, God, this car is costing 4 million shillings. He prayed for like a month. At the same time that he was praying, There were some missionaries who met in Europe, and in their prayer meeting, the Spirit of God told them to take an offering and send it to this missionary in Kenya. And so they organized themselves and they said they are going to raise the offering in 2 weeks, and so they raised it in 2 weeks. When the money was sent to Kenya and converted, it came to 4 million cash. Hakuna cent ya juu na hakuna cent chini. 4 million flat. So it was put on the account. This missionary was called and told to check, and so he checked. He was in Western. He borrowed, that time he wasn't in a, he was renting a house. He was struggling to raise food, and so he had, you know, now he has 4 million. One has few sana. I mean, like 4 million, my friend. Aujakuwa na food, blah 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 blah. And so what he did, he borrowed bus fare from Western Kenya, came all the way to Nairobi, went to the shops. I think it was a Toyota. Went to the shops and went and found the car that he had been praying for, and said, "I want to take this car." And, you know, he was told the price, and he said, no problem. So he transferred the 4 million. Yote. Hope, my friend. Yote. 4 million. He transferred it. And so he was given the keys. The car, all the documents were done, blah, 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 blah. But now he didn't have fuel. Oh, then he paused. If you're a Kenyan, what would you have done with the 4 million? My friend, love this. Hapo ndio nasemaga wacha nitumie 2 million ninunue gari that is almost like ile nilikuwa naomba, alafu 2 million nyingine I invest, you know? I invest here for tomorrow. So that tomorrow I will not lack fare. So that tomorrow I will not lack food. So you cut. So what he did, he went, called a few guys. He didn't have fuel, called a few guys. They didn't have any money. And so he went to a Java and sat and said, okay, God, you know, this is a deal. You have given me the car, 4 million, bus. You know, the car is there. I've done my part. So he sat. And as he was taking coffee, another missionary Mzungu passed and saw him. They hadn't seen each other in years. And they're like, hey, so what are you doing here? Blah, blah, blah. So he talked to him. He didn't mention the car. But then this missionary Mzungu took out 30,000 shillings, gave it to him. Said, God wants me to give you this. See, I'm about a fuel. So the guy rushed back to the shop. Said, now I can take my car. Drove it out, akaenda kwa petrol station, akajaza tank. Pack! Drove all the way to Western Kenya. Went to his home, found his wife and his two kids. They had not had food for 2 nights. And he has driven a 4 million shilling Land Cruiser. My friend. Unaingia. So they went in, he drove in, and the wife says, oh, now, thank you that you've come. We haven't had food, blah, 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 blah. And so the guy is like, okay, let us join hands and ask God for food. So they prayed and told God, please, God, give us food. And this is what happened. Someone in the town who used to sell, you know, he had this car shop that he was selling all this stuff, unga, nini. He sold, and then he looked at the dates, some of the dates, and he realized some of this stock that I have will expire in the next 1 month. And the way I'm selling, I may not have sold by 1 month. So he collected hizo vitu zote, and guess where alipeleka? Alikumbuka there is a mzungu here, okay, who came, who left his home. So he took all that stuff, went to this mzungu, and donated food worth 1 million, 1 month, 1 month, that could last them 1 month. So they ate. So I looked at him and I asked him, so that's a very interesting story. But I told him the truth. If I was in your shoes, I would have been very creative with that 4 million. I would have been very, very creative. You know, I can buy a smaller car that is four-wheel that can still go to Pokot, okay? Then I invest pesa ingine in whatever, Sako, blah, 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 money market, yote, so that in 2 years I can buy now the car I had asked God for. And he told me that's where we go wrong. And I asked him why. He said, the moment you make a prayer to heaven, you have made a requisition in heaven. In other words, you have applied for some amount of money in heaven. Okay? And when God gives you that money, most of the people, what we do, we start, for example, if you ask God for money, akupe, let me use a phone. Okay? And you're asking God for 20,000 shillings that he may give you a phone. Okay? And then he performs a miracle and gives you 20,000 shillings. At that moment, I'm going to pay 20,000 shillings. You haven't paid your rent. You have no food. You have no this. Do you know what we do? We use 8,000 to buy a phone, 5,000 for rent, and this other one for food. Okay? So, we have been unfaithful according to heaven's office. Now, for those of you who are in workplace and corporate, you know that if you requisition for a certain amount of money and you get that amount of money, for example, if you requisition for 5,000, maybe you're making a trip and according to your calculations, the trip would cost 5,000. And so you're given 5,000 shillings. Okay? If the trip costs 3,500 shillings, you are supposed to return 1,500. That is the earthly office. Okay? You're not supposed to be smart with the 1,500 and say, oh, I need to lunch, oh, I need to nini. Because what will happen is this. It will be cut off from your salary. It will be deducted from your salary. Okay? Now, if we human beings know how to be stewards or how to account in our earthly office, how much more then is the heavenly office? Okay? So since then, I started doing it in my life. And I said, okay, God, you know what? I'm going to do this. So I started doing it. So every time I ask God for something, I say, okay, God, give me this. And give me this much money. And if you give me this much money, then I will use it for this. And every time he gives me that much, I use it exactly for what I asked it for. Even if my house is burning. Okay? And then my mom learned it. I remember there was a time we used to get sick when we were kids. And my mom used to tithe. So natoa tithe and eka kando, there was a place alikuwa na yeka. And let me tell you, no matter how sick we got, she never touched that tithe. Afadhali apige simu akope, but she never touched that tithe. Because it was meant to be tithe. Now, imagine all the games we play with God. Maybe wale watu wana play games wako hapa. Maybe it's another church. Imagine all the games that other Christians play with God. Making promises, making vows. God, if you give me this job, I will tithe 30%. 30%. Done. Get the job. Even the 10% becomes a problem. And you wonder why God is not providing for the things you are asking for. It's because you are playing cards with him. When you requisition heaven, my friend, and heaven gives you whatever it is that you have requisitioned it for, use it for that. Don't try to play games with the Almighty. Because he is there. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to rise. But here we are, playing games. Last thing about worry. This is all to help you overcome worry, okay? The fear and the worry. Positive mindset. That's the last one. Three, mental. Positive mindset. Such that no matter the challenges that come into your life, all you are able to see is a positive in everything. You have what I call a possibility thinking. Okay? And that is how you activate faith. That is how you activate belief. If you believe that God exists, and if you believe that God will work on your behalf, then you better begin to behave like you believe that God will work on your behalf. Come on, Moja. For example, let me use this example. You can be in love with the idea of marriage. Okay? But no matter how in love you are with the idea of marriage, you cannot behave like a married person. Because you're not married. Come on, Moja. And if you're married, you can be so in love with an idea of being single. Okay? But you cannot be single because you are married. The same thing, if you believe there is a God who exists, Then don't behave like someone who does not believe that God exists. Okay? And that is what Jesus, in a nutshell, was saying to these people. Do not be like the Gentiles. Because the Gentiles do not believe that God exists. So they have to get worried about food and about clothes and about water. And Jesus tells these guys, you who believe cannot be the same, cannot behave the same, cannot have the same priorities like people who do not believe in me. Because you who believe in me know very well that I take care of every one of your needs. And even give an example about the birds of the air. And he said, look at the birds, how they fly. Does anyone, you know, do they fetch? They do not fetch. They do not store in barns. They do not, but their Father in heaven provides for them. And there's a question I've been asking. And I asked, have you ever seen a bird fall from the sky because it was hungry? And it is flying, alafu katikati, mid-flight, ianguke, because it was hungry or because it was not provided for. He says, look at the lilies of the valley, the grass of the field that is here today and tomorrow it is destroyed. And he says that even Solomon in all his majesty, all his brilliance was not like one of this. In other words, what I'm saying is this. If we believe in God and begin to behave like we believe in God and begin to live our lives like we believe in God, then we shall be much better dressed like the lilies of the valley. We shall be much better provided for more than the birds of the air. Because Jesus is saying, are you not more important than the birds of the air and the lilies of the valleys? Are you not important? Is life not more important than the body? He asks. And he challenges them. He tells them, do not worry or be anxious about these things, because your Father in heaven knows that you need them. Amen. Why don't you all stand? I'm going to say a prayer. Just open your mouth and begin to say a prayer to God. Say a prayer. Just open your mouth and begin to talk to Him. All the worries that you've been through, everything that you are worried about today, I want you to give it to God. And I want you to say it with your mouth. Confess it. Say it loud and say, Lord, I give you this problem. Lord, I give you my rent. Lord, I give you my bills. Lord, I give you my children. Lord, I give you my workplace. Lord, I give you anything that you have and you are worried about. Lord, I give you my grades. Lord, I give you my school fees issue. Lord, I give you my sickness issue. Lord, I give it to you. Open your mouth. Open your mouth and begin to say this thing. And then play it loud. And begin to talk to Him. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. Talk to Him.